With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and I'm at the Cape Ann Museum now with its director, Oliver Barker. And once again, Mr. Barker, thank you for letting me come here today.
We're delighted to have you, Rick. Thank you for showing the interest.
All right. As I said in our warm-up here, I really don't even know where to get started, so I'm going to let you tell me about this place.
The Cape Ann Museum was founded in 1875, so that puts us, if I'm doing my math correctly, and you perhaps can help me, is we're 148 years young, and with that, we exist to tell the singularly important story of this place. As many of your listeners will know, Cape Ann has been defined by the granite and the fishing industries, those two industries are still very much part of our collective cultural identity. And so for anyone coming to the Cape Ann Museum today, we hope that you will leave understanding how those industries, and the much longer history, of course, of Indigenous engagement too here on Cape Ann, have changed this local story, and I would argue it's a story of national relevance.
Mm-hmm. This is, to me, it's an encyclopedia of Cape Ann from all the things you mentioned going back so far. And I just have to get out one more time. I have to talk about St. Michael's mock-up sculpture that Walker Hancock did. It's about, I don't know, 8 or 9 feet tall, I think.
13 feet.
13 feet here at the museum. Yeah. And the real thing in Philadelphia at the 32nd Street train station is 40 feet tall, and it's just mind-boggling.
It is, and we were talking offline. What I love about this, the history we have to represent, is that these stories, Cape Ann has its tendrils out there in the rest of the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I say it's a local story of national relevance, today, anyone visiting this summer, we have the Edward Hopper and Cape Ann exhibition. Edward Hopper is best known as perhaps one of America's most celebrated 20th century painters. What people don't know is that his story had its beginnings really here on Cape Ann, thanks to the creative catalyst that he found in this city of Gloucester, but also thanks to a young lady that he met here, Jo Nivison Hopper. And so I love the fact that we're talking about someone who is on the national stage in terms of being recognized for his work during the 20th century, but in actual fact the roots are here in the city.
Talk about the special exhibits this summer that are ongoing.
So we have three exhibitions, that temporary exhibitions that we're inviting people to see here at our downtown campus. Some of your listeners may be aware that in 2020, during the height of the pandemic, the museum opened a completely new second campus called the Cape Ann Museum Green, which is at the gateway to the city for anyone arriving here on this island of Rockport and Gloucester. It's a wonderful facility. We have a 12,000 square foot new building there called the Janet and William Ellery James Center, which is to has a dual purpose, both to store our collections but also to enable us to present more contemporary installations or exhibitions. So just closed there is an exhibition devoted to quarry art, where we engaged 9 local photographers to photograph the quarries of Cape Ann, and we had over 40 representations of their work, which was wonderful. But here to answer your question, downtown at the museum today through October the 16th, we have Edward Hopper and Cape Ann, which is an opportunity for people to see 63 works by either Jo Nivison Hopper, his wife, or Edward Hopper, that are on display. In addition, we have Stuart Davis, A Portrait of Place, a wonderful exhibition within our FitzHenry Lane Gallery that I hope is going to give everyone a great surprise, because we all know Lane, and many people may be familiar with Davis. They actually both operated out of Gloucester 70 years apart, and whilst they were so inspired by this place, their interpretations of the city and the harbour in particular couldn't be any more different. So that will be wonderful. And then the third exhibition that we're presenting is an exhibition called Coming Home. It's a selection of works from the collection of Janet and William Ellery James. The Jameses have very generously announced that they will be giving this collection, their collection of over 400 works, to the museum. And the exhibition we have on view shows just a small selection, 36 of those pieces. They've been selected to highlight the connections to Edward and Josephine Nivison Hopper. because the Jameses over a lifetime have been collecting wonderful examples of Cape Ann art, and their gift will add things to this museum that we've never had or we've dreamt of having but never thought we would have before. So very exciting, three things to see concurrently this summer.
I'm curious as how to how you develop a special exhibit, because obviously you have things on permanent display here, Cape Ann artifacts, Cape Ann art, but something like the Hopper exhibit or the Davis exhibit, how do you put that together?
That's a great question, and I don't know how long you've got. I will share that the Edward Hopper and Cape Ann exhibition is probably about 3 years in the making. I began discussions around this show just in the height of the pandemic. We were closed, and so many other places were closed too. And I knew that 2023 was going to be an important year for Gloucester in acknowledgement of the 400-plus anniversary of colonial arrival. And I was keen to help support those initiatives around the city, but also do something that was distinctive to the Cape Ann Museum. And I was aware that in 1923, so a century ago, Edward Hopper had come here for his second summer, and that was a pivotal summer for him because he reconnected with Joe Niverson, and in the fall, as a result of her introduction to colleagues at the Brooklyn Museum, exhibited his Gloucester works in New York, sold one, and that was his second only sale as a 41-year-old artist. And after that, his career took off. And so I knew that there was this key moment where Gloucester played a seminal role, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, let's try and build around that. I knew that there was an opportunity to bring back the painting that made it all happen, a work called The Mansard Roof that's owned by the Brooklyn Museum. And as a museum ourselves, we have one wonderful drawing of by Edward Hopper. So I thought, well, this is a great challenge. Let's see if we can get other works here to do something significant to celebrate Cape Ann during this 400-plus year for Gloucester. And so with that, I should point out that there are a number of really key partners that have made this happen. First and foremost is our guest curator, Elliot Boswick Davis, who is a former colleague from the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. She is just a wonderful scholar and person. She was a museum director, and I thought if we were going to put this exhibition together, we needed to have her as our collaborator. She had organized in 2007 a big retrospective of Edward Hopper's work that went from the Museum of Fine Arts Boston to the Art Institute of Chicago and then to the National Gallery. And so I called Elliot and she said yes, which was wonderful. The second important partner in all of this is the Whitney Museum of American Art. Based in New York, they have the largest holdings of Edward Hopper and Joe Niverson's work, because when the Hoppers passed away in the late 1960s, they left everything to the Whitney Museum. So we knew, Elliot and myself, that if we were going to put this exhibition together, we needed to have their blessing and also their partnership. And very fortunately, Adam Weinberg, as their director, he understood that this was a story that we should tell. And they decided as an institution to partner with us on this. And so it's very significant, I think, for the Cape Ann Museum. In our 148-year history, we have never had a partnership with a national-level institution. And we're very grateful. They have loaned 28 works by the Hoppers to this exhibition.
Wow.
So that's very significant. And then finally, in addition, because you ask about how these things come together, I also was keen. Many people will come to this museum and they say, Oliver, this is a hidden gem.
Yes.
We love the Cape Ann Museum. And I love that. I love the fact that we have an intimate feel and that we tell a local story and we do tell that story well. I want to make sure that more people know about it, however. And so,
Well, that's part of my job. That's what we're doing.
That's why you're here today. And the third partner in all of this is Rizzoli Electa, who has published our exhibition catalogue. It's 224 pages. And what is so exciting to me, it was released in early May. Friends and colleagues have started to send me pictures of it all around the world. And that is, to me, part of taking the hidden out of Hidden Gem, which is just wonderful. So So it takes a village. I have a tremendous staff here, a wonderful group of board members and other volunteers, our docents as well. And so with our small but mighty team of 20 permanent staff, they've done a fantastic job in assisting us in bringing this exhibition about.
You've answered the question I was going to ask about staff. It has an intimate feel. It's a beautiful building, huge building. Your staff is very friendly. Tell me about the experience of visitors. When someone comes in who knows nothing about, say, Cape Ann or the museum, what do they experience? You have so many different rooms and exhibits and stuff. It's not just art or relics.
It's not. In actual fact, as you enter the museum, one of the first galleries you will encounter is called our Cape Ann Gallery. And I love you step into that space, and in the middle of the room there is a model. It shows four schooners and the Gloucester Harbour as depicted for the World Expo in 1893, when Gloucester was America's largest fishing port. And around there on the walls, as you look around, there's one of the 10 original redcoats, the only one here in North America. In another corner of the room, there are some wonderful examples of Paul Revere silver that was made for the Universalist Church. And then it's a who's who in terms of the painters and sculptors that have called Cape Ann home. Mm-hmm. So moving from there and walking through the museum, we have what I consider to be at the core of our institution two galleries devoted to telling the fishing story. And in those galleries, we have a dory, there's a boat called the Centennial, and another boat that belonged to Howard Blackburn. The Centennial, or its owner in that vessel, Alfred Johnson, was the first person to cross the Atlantic in 1876. It took him 66 days. And anyone visiting the museum, hopefully when you come, you will leave having understood just some of the stories of the intrepid travelers that lived here and called Gloucester and Cape Ann home.
I think the other thing I want to ask about is education, because there is a tremendous connection between the Cape Ann Museum and local educators.
That is true. And in actual fact, one of the things during the pandemic, it provided us with an opportunity to think about what we do well and what we could do in a different way. And one of the things that came out of that self-analysis was we decided that we really wanted to ramp up our K-12 education program. So earlier this spring, we had two exhibitions actually in the space where we're standing now. We exhibited the work of our third grade students from across Cape Ann and also our eighth grade students from across Cape Ann. And that to me is really important. We're committed to expanding that program because as a former teacher yourself, there are so many opportunities looking at the Commonwealth curriculum. There is an opportunity for each grade level to come and engage with some aspect of Cape Ann history. And we want to partner with teachers to make sure that happens.
What's going on outdoors here at the local campus?
Here outdoors at the local campus, we have our sculpture garden. In a few weeks' time, we will be opening another exhibition at the Cape Ann Museum Green, where we will be showcasing highlights from the collection of the Addison Gilbert Hospital. When you go to an appointment at the hospital, you'll pass many great works of art,
right.
And we're taking them out of context and putting them in our gallery so that people can actually enjoy and celebrate the wonderful collection that the hospital has.
Without giving anything away, it sounds to me as though there's a plan. In other words, right now you and your staff are probably thinking next year or the year beyond.
There is. I will say that we have grand plans. We hope we are very focused around the museum's 150th anniversary, which will be upon us before we know it, 2025. 2026 for the 250th anniversary of America, we have big plans as well. So this is a great moment to come visit the Cape Ann Museum, but it's just really the beginning of many exciting things to come.
I love it. Now, your excitement and your enthusiasm is pretty evident. What brings you to Gloucester?
What brings me to Gloucester?
Before, let me ask a little bit about your background and how you got to Gloucester.
So I think one of the important connectors for me in all the work that I've done, I've worked at four museums for the past 25 years, My original training was as a painter and a printmaker. And at a very early age, I realized that I loved being around the art. It didn't necessarily have to be mine. Mm-hmm. And so very early on, just really straight out of art school, I managed to secure a role working for the Peggy Guggenheim Collection in Venice. I ended up running their education program there and living there for 6 years, learning to row Venetian style standing up. It was certainly no hardship. And from there, I then was fortunate enough to be given a role as a curator working for an organization called the Joseph and Annie Albers Foundation, which is just outside of New Haven in Connecticut. The foundation there represents the legacies of two wonderful artists, former German artists who came here in the 1930s to escape the Nazis, both leading educators and artists as well. And for a decade, I organized exhibitions and publications to promote their work around the globe. That was very wonderful and very exciting. And then I realized that I really wanted to focus more on museum administration. And so I went back to school for a year and got a master's in arts and cultural management and came back to this country because here on the east coast of America, there are just so many wonderful cultural organizations. And I was fortunate enough to find a position with the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston and was with that institution during its transition between Malcolm Rogers as its former director to Matthew Teitelbaum, had the privilege of working closely with the museum's administration. And then this opportunity came up in the beginning of 2019, and all my colleagues encouraged me to take it on. And I could see that there was a great story here, great opportunity to do new things, and a willingness by the board to embrace change. And I'm very excited that I'm here and we're doing wonderful things.
Finally, Oliver, is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk about?
Well, you're very kind to ask. I don't think so. I think you and I, we should walk through the show.
I think it's a great idea. All right, that is Oliver Barker, who is the director of the Cape Ann Museum with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.